in and grab your Bibles. I want you to turn to 1 Peter 4:12. 1 Peter 4:12. We're going to move really rapidly because we spent a little more time in worship, and I want to make sure that I get you guys out on time. So 1 Peter 4:12. I was praying for you, and I was talking to Pastor Jen. Pastor Jen coordinates our prayer team, and she was telling me that there's a lot of prayer requests. People are really going through a lot. And when I asked this morning who's going through, almost every hand went up in the room. And the Lord told me to encourage you this morning. So my message today is meant to be an encouragement, to help you through this challenging season. And my husband used to say this, if you're not in a challenging season, that's okay. Grab this message, take some good notes, because you either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or you about to go into a storm. So you might find yourself in one of those three locations. So if you're not in the storm, take some notes. If you're going through the storm, take some notes so that you can get some encouragement. And if you're coming out of the storm, praise God as you take some notes. Amen. The title of my message today is Why Me, Lord? Why me, God? Have you ever asked God that question? Some of y'all too holy to ask that. Some of y'all don't, because we grew up in churches where you're not supposed to ask why, God. That, I don't know why people tell you that. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. I see nowhere in Scripture where you're not supposed to ask why me. Even Job asked some interesting questions. Now, people cite Job and say, see, that's why you're not supposed to say why me, because here's what happened when Job asked some questions. God said, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where was you when I told the ocean this is how far you're supposed to? Where was you? So people say, you're not supposed to ask God. God never said, don't ask me. He was just explaining to God, to Job, look, I understand you going through, but don't forget I'm still God. But he never beat him up. He never destroyed him. He never smote him dead. He never said, stop talking to me. As a matter of fact, it was so kind of Almighty God to even answer Job. Anyway, God is our friend. He is our father. He is not a dictator who is saying you can't ask a question. So this morning, we're going to come to God, those of you that are going through whatever you're going through, and you ought to just ask this and say, why me? Come on, can y'all do that? Say, why me? Say, Lord, why me? If you think about out of all the people who could be going through hell, why does it have to be me right now? I asked myself that question when my mother died. I had just had my oldest child. This is now almost 14 years ago, but I just had my oldest child. And my kids didn't have any grandparents. She was the last remaining grandparent. And when she passed, I had to ask. I was like, God, why me? Why me? And I love God because I'm still here 14 years later when I asked that question in my despair, why me? So I'm not coming to you as somebody who has not had this moment where I've asked God. Matter of fact, I asked God that this week. Okay, Jesus, look here. Why, God? Why me? 1 Peter 4:12, let's look at that. 1 Peter 4:12 says this, and I'm going to ask you, Holy Spirit, right now to come in and move me aside, minister to every hurt, and bring encouragement, bring a release, bring a strength of faith to be able to keep on serving you, believing you, trusting you, as we answer the question, why me, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, 1 Peter 4:12 says this, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. Well, you got to kind of say, Peter, really, you had to put that one in the book? He says, stop acting like it's strange when you're going through hell. As though, you know, some strange thing is going on in your life. Let me tell you something. Believers, if somebody told you that when you get saved, all your problems are going to stop, they were a false prophet and they were a liar, and you need to slap them upside their head and tell them, stop talking that mess. Because just giving your life to Jesus does not mean that you're going to be trouble-free. Giving your life to Jesus does not mean you're going to tiptoe through life and never have a problem and life is going to be amazing. And if they told you that, they lied to you. And I came to pop your little bubble today and tell you that ain't real. Coming to Jesus means you are putting yourself in a position where the enemy is going to come after you and attack you even harder than he did before. Coming to Jesus means you are going to be going through hell while you're on your way to heaven. I'm going to end up in heaven, but I might have to go through hell till I get there. So don't think it's strange concerning the stuff, the trials. And he don't just say the trial; he call them fiery trials. Don't consider it unnormal. It's not some freak accident that you having to deal with this stuff with your family. It's not some freak accident that these things happen with your finances the way they do. It's not some freak accident that you can't seem to find joy no matter what. It's not a freak accident. This is the way it's supposed to be. Pastor, this is not very encouraging. I'll get to that point in a minute. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says this: that which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Let me tell you something. You ain't been through nothing that's new to God. Matter of fact, everything you've been through, somebody else done been through it. Probably millions of people have been through what you've been through. So stop acting like it's only me. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen, God. Nobody knows what it's like to go through this. They don't understand me at church. They don't understand me at home. Shut up. We might not have been through it, but we got a God who's been through it for thousands upon thousands of generations. So this ain't nothing new to him. We have to stop crying. Now, I'm not saying don't cry. Go ahead and cry. Crying is good. But we have to stop whining about what we're going through and start realizing this is part of the process. So, God, why me? Why is this happening to me? What? Let me tell you something. Adversity is going to come to everybody. Adversity is difficulty or misfortune that comes against you, your purpose, and your direction in life. Adversity is an opposing force that brings about unfavorable or antagonistic effects in your life. The word adversity comes from the word adverse. You ever seen people play football and they say this team versus that team? You know what that means? That means this whole football team and all of its resources are going to come adverse or against a whole nother team and all their resources. The goals of each are to get to the field goal and to score more than the other person. See, you and God are on one team. Satan and his demonic forces are on another team. And Satan is going to put all of his resources and all of his energy behind preventing you from reaching your purpose, your goal, and your destiny. But what you cannot forget is that God, you are on God's side. And God is going to put all of his resources and all of his energy and all of his ability and all of the angelic forces behind you to guarantee, not just get you there, but to guarantee your success, to guarantee you will reach the purpose and the destiny that God has for you. What is God's goal for us? Jeremiah 29:11 says this: for I know the thoughts that I have towards you. They're thoughts to prosper you, to grow you, to not harm you, to give you hope and a future. That's your goal, is to prosper in the Lord. What's Satan's goal for us? John 10:10 says he comes for three reasons, except only. He don't come for no other reasons than to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his goal for you. So that when you're going through, I want you to remind yourself, you're just versing an enemy who's trying to keep you. He's trying to steal from you, kill from you, and destroy from you. So how does adversity come? Because some of us are not familiar with that. I just want to make it clear. Adversity can come through natural disasters, like hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes. Some people say God sent that. Let me tell you something. God don't send death. That's a whole nother series that I have to teach about as to the fact that God is not controlling the bad stuff that's happening in the world. The Bible calls the enemy, Satan, the prince of the air. How are hurricanes started? They're wind forces. Come on, somebody. That stir up water. Come on. He's the prince of the air. We don't want to talk about that. Okay, that's another message. But natural disasters are a means of adversity. Personal choice can be a means for adversity. Some of us are going through hell because we made some bad choices. Why me, Lord? Because you didn't listen. Why me, Lord? You didn't do what I told you to do. Why me, Lord? You chose him. I didn't choose him. Why me, Lord? You picked that woman. Why am I having baby mama drama? You picked her. Why am I having financial issues, God? Because you ain't tithing. You ain't got no budget, and you won't go to the financial management class they offer at your church. That's why. So y'all can't be up in the church blaming Satan on everything. Satan did it to me. I'm broken. It's all his fault. Satan didn't make you go to Nordstrom's and buy everything on the shelf. That was you. It's your personal. Satan didn't make you answer that booty call. Oh, that call. Satan didn't make you pick up that cake and keep eating it. I'm struggling with my health, God. I don't know why the enemy is coming. Didn't I tell you to stop eating like that and start exercising? But God, I need you. And God says, I've given you the spirit of self-discipline. You're not listening to that spirit. You are doing what you want to do. Y'all don't know the Bible says that he's given us the spirit, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness. And the last one is self-control. Oh, this is for me. This ain't for y'all. I still eat cake. I just don't eat as much. The third way that adversity comes is through demonic forces. There are demonic forces where you might have a car accident. You didn't plan on it. Something just happened. You lose your job, maybe a disease comes upon you. Negative people can be demonic forces. Unhealthy relationships, maybe they're relationships that God called you to be in, but people were just nasty and mean to you. Those can be demonic forces that come against you. That's how adversity comes. So don't be shocked that it's coming. Just know that these are ways that they happen. So why, God, is this happening to me? Well, one reason that this is happening to you is because God wants to develop your character. Do you know that God can't develop your character if you don't go through nothing? God, give me patience. What do you think he's going to send? People who get on your last nerves. You got folks you can't stand, but you've been praying for patience. God's like, I'm answering your prayer. Oh, God, but I just need you to give me patience without letting me have to deal with them. God said, I can't do that. It's easy to have patience with folks you like, but when you start to have to deal with folks you can't stand, then you begin to understand how God's love truly can flow through you. God uses adversity to make us better, but Satan uses adversity to make us bitter. When we get hurt or bitter, we often want to quit on our God-given plans and our destiny. But God can use our hurts and our adversities for his good. Do you not know God will bring adversity even in the church where you have to develop character and deal with folks in the church you don't like? Folks, we want to run from church. I don't like them. I'm out of here. You know what? Sit down somewhere because God's trying to develop your character right there. Because I'm going to tell you a little secret. If you don't get it here with folks you don't like, you're going to go to another church. It's going to be the same kind of folks who you don't like there. Then you're going to have to pop up and bounce to another church because it'll be the same kind of folks. So until you start dealing with it, you're going to keep seeing them same kind of folks in your life. You don't want to deal with a certain person, deal with them now so you don't have to keep dealing with them later. Well, nobody wants to hear that. Let me tell you, Romans 8:28 says this, and we know all things work together for the good of those who love God. All things work together. All things, good and bad, stuff we like, we don't like. When the snatch man come, that's all things working together for the good. Half of y'all got it. Y'all don't know what the snatch man is? Oh, my God, the repossession man, the man coming to snatch your car, that's the snatch man. All things work together for the good. When Tyrone leave you, that's all things working together for your good. All things. I've discovered that even stuff like my hot water heater went out this week. I've been in cold water. Ain't nothing worse than a cold shower. You know, and it ain't even hot outside. But you know what? God said all things work together. I was like, God, what good can come? I feel like the folks in the Bible, what good can come out of Nazareth? What good can come out of my hot water heater being broke, God? You know, the Lord reminded me when I was a little girl about when my mother couldn't pay the bill for the gas. And so we didn't have hot water on the regular. And what my mother did was heat up hot water on the stove. Y'all don't know what that is. She had to put a pot on the stove and heat it up. Some of y'all just grew up in the country and that's what y'all did. Y'all just didn't have no hot water. We couldn't afford the hot water. And my mama would put a pot on the stove and I was like, you know what, I can heat that pot on the stove and I can take it and we can go take baths like we used to and pour that water in there. And the Holy Spirit was like, I don't want you to ever forget where I brought you from. Don't get so uppity that hot water got you all attitudinal and mad and nasty. Look, hot water can't stop your attitude for Christ. It ought to keep you even joyful. I'm singing and shouting to the guy coming to fix my hot water heater. And you know what he said to me? I can't fix it. I was like, that's all right. Bless God. It's going to be all right. God is a good God. See, it's all things, even that. The stuff that gets on your nerves that you're not expecting that's coming, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. Matter of fact, James 1, chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 says, my brother, count it all joy when you face various trials. How do I count it all joy when I'm going through trials? I thought, James, you must have been smoking some ever-loving New Testament herbs to say, count it all joy. And the Holy Spirit helped me to understand that joy does not mean I'm bouncing around, woohoo, I'm going through hell, guys. Hey! You know what it means? It means to have peace, to know I'm going to come out of it. The joy of the Lord is your strength, which means the hope of the Lord, the joy that Father God is bringing you out, that everything's going to be all right, ought to be your strength. So God is saying, count it all joy. That means count with all hope and expectation that God is going to bring you out when you come into trials of any kind. We ought not be acting like the world when we're going through stuff because we ought to count it all joy. I got a hope. My hot water heater shall be fixed. Now, that's an easy one because you can say, I can pay that bill. But what do you do when your marriage is falling apart? And I got to count it all joy when we're on the brink of divorce. You know what I do? I might still cry. I might still be upset. But I believe and I thank God that we're going to come out of this. I declare over my marriage that God hates divorce and he's going to turn this around for his good. I begin to speak life. And that gives me hope in the middle of it, which brings my joy. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you face trials of any kind, knowing that the testing of your faith. Why am I going through this, God? You don't know you got faith till it gets tested. Faith ain't faith till it's tested. Let me see what I'm talking about. You have faith that that chair is going to hold up. But you don't know how good your faith is till you actually sit in the chair. Let me see what I'm saying. I can look at that chair and say, I believe that chair will hold somebody up, but I ain't got to sit in it. That ain't faith. Faith is action. Faith is moving on what I believe, even when I don't see what I think I'm supposed to see. So I sit by faith, believing that the chair is going to hold me up. Come on, somebody. You got to have faith in the middle of your circumstance and believe in God's promises, even when you can't see God's promises come to pass. And what does that look like? I act on them. I walk like God is coming through. I talk like God is coming through. I sing and worship like God is coming through. I hold my head up like God is coming through. I move like God is coming through. I don't give in. I don't give up because I believe that God is coming through. My actions look like my faith. And you cannot get your actions to look like your faith until your faith is in a test. It's like this. When I was a kid, people used to always talk about what they was going to do to you. See, where I'm from, see, y'all too nice and sweet out here in California. Where I'm from, man, we talk smack. You come over here, I'm going to knock your head off. Faith ain't faith till it's tested. What does that mean? You can talk all you want to talk, but the reality doesn't come down till you get into a fight. You can get into a fight, and if all you doing is talking, come on, somebody, you ain't nothing going to happen. But until you swing that first, come on, y'all don't know. Till you swing, till you move into action. See, you're in a fight with the enemy, and some of y'all are talking a good game. But when the enemy actually come in your face and say it, see, some of y'all like them scary little kids who talk smack until you bring your big brother, then you run. No, God is on my side. I ain't got to be scared of you or your big brother. Come on, let's do this, Satan. Let's go. I'm going to take you out. I'm not going to sit here and let you bully me, because that's all you are, is a bully. And I'm going to come back, and I'm going to put my faith in action, and I'm going to move. I'm going to tithe by faith. I'm going to pray by faith. I'm going to serve by faith. I'm going to get up and go to church by faith. I'm going to get up and work out by faith. Oh, y'all ain't hear me. I'm going to cook by faith. Come on, somebody. I'm going to pray for my loved one by faith. I'm going to be kind to my husband or my wife by faith, because God knows I don't want to do it. I'm going to do all this stuff by faith. And what that is me swinging and putting into action the faith that God has given me. Faith ain't faith till it's tested. So maybe you going through it because God is trying to show you just how much faith you really have. Here's another reason. So bad things can happen in your life because God wants to develop character in you. Here's another reason. God is trying to develop discipline. You ain't gotta like it, but it's true. Sometimes we go through sicknesses because we haven't learned to be disciplined. And God is not saying, I want you to die. God is saying, just fix it and get disciplined. Start taking care of yourself. You get one body. You don't get no more bodies. Don't see, when I start talking about taking care of yourself, everybody start getting quiet. You was clapping an amen and on the boyfriend stuff. And Tyrone this, but you don't want to clap when I talk about trying to take care of yourself. Because discipline, what does it mean to be a disciple? It means to be disciplined. It's not just in taking care of yourself, it's in reading your word. Sometimes you're going through it so God can get you in your word every day. Oh, my God, that's a revelation for somebody right there. You might just be going through it so that you'll read your Bible every day. That's a discipline. You might be going through it so that you will actually pray and not just tell people you prayed. We lie a lot in church. I've been praying every day. Technically, that's true. I wake up, my eyes are closed, I say, thank you, Jesus. I get up, I move. That's about as much interaction as me and Jesus have had. I pray every day, Pastor. I can look at your life and tell if you pray or not. We need to stop lying to ourselves and each other. God will take you through or allow you. He won't put it on you, but he will allow certain things to happen to you so that you can be more disciplined in your prayer life. You don't pray worth nothing until hell break loose. Then you on your knees, you at every prayer meeting. Yo, Pastor Jim, what time we getting together for prayer? Then God works all that stuff out, and Pastor Jim's like, I ain't seen you in a minute. I kid you not, I think everybody thinks that it's Pastor Jen's job to pray for everybody in the church. It's because she's like got this burden for prayer, so it's all on her. You know, Jesus said that we ought to be a house of prayer, not a person of prayer. I don't see anywhere where prayer is a spiritual gift only assigned to few peoples. If I want something to happen, I got to get Pastor Jen to pray. Let me tell you something. You got the same Holy Spirit in you. There is no junior Holy Spirit because you don't have a pastor in front of your name. You can pray too. So sometimes God takes you through so you'll pray. And you're saying, but I'm praying and ain't nothing happening. Then keep on praying. Go to the soaking intensive on Friday because maybe you need to learn a new form of how to pray so that God can do something else. We just keep doing what we do and we think that's enough. But sometimes God takes you through stuff so that you can increase to a new level and get a new level of discipline and you can grow in your walk with God. You don't believe me. Hebrews 12. See, y'all are looking at me like she talking, but she ain't gave me no scriptures. I got you. Hebrews 12, verse 10. For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit that we may be partakers of his holiness. Chastening means discipline. God for a few, He disciplines us or chastens us as he seems best because he wants us to be holy. Now he says, now no chastening or discipline seems to be joyful for the present, but it's painful. Come on, somebody. It's painful to be disciplined. I don't know nobody that in the beginning likes to go through discipline. I mean, I don't like being on a budget. Y'all don't, that's discipline. I don't like forgiving people consistently. That's discipline. Okay, let me help. I don't like, come on, some of y'all, God's calling y'all not to drink alcohol, not to smoke, not to go to the clubs, and you're saying, I see nowhere in the Bible. But you going through all this hell. Maybe if you try to just be disciplined and stop it for a little bit, maybe God will. I was about to talk about sleeping around, but I'm almost not. I'm going to leave that alone. No, I ain't. We sleeping around like everything's all cool, fine, and dandy, and we wondering why God taking us through it. God's like, stop that. You need to be holy. I'm trying to discipline you so you don't live like that. My children don't live like that. We talk, and I have to say this because people don't like me to talk about sex in church. All the kids are out, so I can say the word sex. Sex, 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 sex. Here's the problem in the church, and I said this on Wednesday night. For those of y'all who got an attitude that pastor said sex, 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 let me help you. Sex, 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 sex. Here's the problem with it. The problem is the world does nothing but talk about sex, and they talk about it in a perverted way. They never teach you the holiness of it. They never teach you it was meant to happen inside of marriage. They never teach you can smack it, flip it, rub it down in marriage. What they teach us is that outside of marriage, the world says there's freedom. Inside of marriage, you got the old ball and chain. It's bondage. But God's way is completely opposite. Outside of marriage, you are, look, there's freedom in your boundaries, but there are boundaries. Inside of marriage, there's a lot of freedom. Some boundaries. Old Testament read. Can't be bringing nobody else up in the room now. Some boundaries. Listen to me. Why am I saying this to you? Because some of us in the church feel like we cannot be disciplined with how we handle our bodies sexually. You can be. And sometimes God will take you through hell so you can start disciplining yourself. I don't know what kind of hell that is. You let the Holy Spirit tell you what it is. If you're going through something and you feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, stop doing that, that might be him trying to discipline you. We cannot be afraid in the church to talk about these kinds of things because we're living them. I mean, people are struggling with sexual addictions all the time in church. People are struggling with pornography in the church, males and females. But we don't want to talk about it. You know why? Because the enemy don't want you to talk about it. Because if you don't talk about it in the church, you'll stay bound. And if you stay bound, let me tell you something, and I got to go. I'm going to tell this anyway. I have a 13-year-old son, and I've been working around teenagers for a long time. And anybody that has teenagers, you need to know this. How many of y'all got teenagers? Just this side of the room has teenagers plus Angela. Okay. Oh, I saw your hand too. Okay. So this side of the room, those of you who have teenagers, those of you who are about to have teenagers or you're about to have kids or grandkids that are teenagers, let me tell you something. Everybody in the world is talking to them about sex. And that is bringing an adversity in our children's lives. They need to have a safe place inside of a godly home or church where they can talk about what they hear out there and they can be prepared for what's going to go on out there. Because if not, we are setting our children up for even greater adversity by personal choice that they didn't even have a wisdom to make because nobody taught them the truth. I had to teach my child about protection at 13, not because he was doing something, but because I was afraid somebody was going to say something to him and he wasn't going to know what was going on. I was like, do you know what bleep, bleep, bleep is? He was like, no. I was like, look, don't let no little girl tell you she doing this and taking care of herself. You blah, 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 blah. You don't do that because you holy. You don't. He was like, he was all scared. He was like, so would I get a disease if I'm married? I said, well, if y'all were holy before you got married and kept yourself pure, then no. If you played around beforehand, she might lie. Why am I saying this to you? Because personal choice and adversity comes through things that we don't have understanding of. And God is trying to give us discipline. And we need to be teaching discipline to our children so that they don't have to go through the errors of personal choice and experience some of the adversity we experienced. Okay, that was a sidebar. Here's the next couple, and I'm going to be out of here. Adversity comes to advance the kingdom of God. Some of you don't realize that you're going through it because God's trying to do something in the earth or in your family. Your family is going through it, and you think, why me? And God is saying, because I need you to advance the kingdom in your family. I need you. Look, when your family is going through hell, you get to share the love of Jesus Christ with them. When your coworkers are going through it, you get to, when the whole company is afraid of being shut down, you get to advance the kingdom and bring hope. All of that is happening because the Bible says in Matthew 11, 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, in order for the kingdom of God to advance, there's going to be some violence that happens. I'm not talking about in the world, physical world violence. I'm talking about turbulence in your spirit, in your mind, in the atmosphere. And in order to bring the power of God into that situation, there must be adversity. Okay? All right. Another reason that adversity comes is to reaffirm your purpose. Do you not know that God will allow you to go through stuff just to remind you of what he's trying to do in your life? 2 Timothy chapter 1 says, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, verse 12. He said, for this reason I also suffer these things. Paul was writing to Timothy, and he said, I was appointed as a preacher, I was appointed as an apostle, and I was appointed as a teacher, and that's the reason why I'm suffering. I suffer because of my call. You suffer because of your call. And when you suffer, it reaffirms the fact that you've been called. It reaffirms the fact that you're on the right trail. It reaffirms the fact that God is doing something here. People don't understand this. At least twice a year, this church has seasons where people are going through hell. And I was like telling Jen this week, I was like, man, I don't know what to do when we go through those. You know what God told me? I'm just reaffirming that y'all on the right track. Satan don't mess with nobody who ain't going in the wrong direction. If you're going in his direction, he leave you alone. But if you're going to advance God's kingdom, to oppose the things of God, you're going to go through hell. And here's the funny part. It's not just going to be you. It's going to be everybody around you, too. That's the funny part of when you go through adversity. It hurts worse when it's somebody around you you love and you can't do nothing about it. Okay, let me move on. First, the verse is to humble you and to test you. Deuteronomy 8 says, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you this way for 40 years to humble you and to test you. Watch this. To know what was in your heart. God takes us through adversity so we don't be cocky, think we know it all. The worst thing in the world is know-it-all Christians. I can't stand a know-it-all Christian. I'm talking about myself included. That's why I try to stay just as dumb, not dumb, but, you know, like, God, I just don't know. I don't want to have answers to everything. I want to constantly be coming to God because, you know what, once you think you know everything, once you think you can't be taught something, you are in a bad space. And I'm telling you, as a Christian, we ought to be so humble that if a two-year-old speaks a word to challenge us, if it's from God, we receive it. Because I heard in my Bible that God can use the jawbone of a donkey. He certainly can use an infant, a baby, a 2, a 5, a 12, a 13-year-old, a 25. He can use a 50, 80, 90-year-old to tell me something, to humble me. And when you think you got it all together, God going to bring adversity to show you you don't. He will bring adversity to humble you because God can exalt the humble. But the pride, he always tears down. So he humbled you, the Bible says. He allowed you to hunger. I think that's just deep. God let me be hungry because he wanted to humble me. God is like, you can't have lobster and steak and rice because, I mean, you know, you got to have beans and rice because I need to humble you. He didn't say I allowed you to hungry and didn't feed you. He said I allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which means I fed you. They got fed manna for 40 years every day. Manna, manna, manna. They got sick of manna. You know what God was doing? He was humbling them and testing what was in their heart. You staying in the places you stay. I'm so sick of living in this place. I want to get up out of here. Shut up. God's humbling you and testing you. I'm so tired of this place. It's a dump. Didn't make it nice. I'm so sick of this car. My car break down every 2 or 3 minutes. Didn't pray over it, lay hands on it, and keep the stepping. But keep your attitude together. Come on, somebody. We got to check ourselves. Why me, Lord? God's like, because you are full of pride. That's why you. I got to bring it down a notch. All right. I think that's enough. Does that help? So why me, Lord? Because God is trying to develop your character. God is trying to humble you and test you. God is trying to advance his kingdom. And all the other reasons I said. Stand to your feet. I hope in there somewhere, he's trying to test your faith. I hope in there somewhere you got an understanding of why you're going through. I believe if you understand why, you have the ability to endure a little bit. So you said you was going to encourage me. Here's the encouragement. Stay in the test. You're going to come out of it. Just hang out in it for a little bit longer. But when you're in it, put your eyes on Jesus. Remember that God is trying to do something in you. Come here, Latoya. Latoya has on a shirt that I think is just so profound for right now. She's a breast cancer survivor. And she has on a shirt that just says fight. I see the pink ribbon, so I'm pretty sure I know what it's fighting, right? But Latoya, God has done a mighty work. You want to tell them? Okay, you want me to tell them? Okay. So, because I don't know all the details, you were diagnosed with which stage? Stage 4 breast cancer. She's in her early 30s. and the enemy was trying to say no. She has a history of breast cancer in her family. And stage four means that it's spreading. So it wasn't just in her breast, but it was spreading. And what the enemy brought in her life, I have watched her grow in her walk with God. I've watched her grow in her faith. I've watched her believe God. I've watched her move and step out on her own and live in a place she probably never lived if this hadn't happened. I've watched her love children like she, I mean, her love for children has increased through this experience. And that was about 2 years ago you got diagnosed? Almost 2 years ago. And she's standing here today. See, that cancer diagnosis could have made her bitter, but she got on a shirt that says fight because it made her better. I want to encourage you today, keep on fighting. It might not be cancer. You might have something else you're facing. But if LaToya can go through it and God is on her side and make her stronger and better, I'm going to tell you something. You got this. You can go through it. God's producing something in you. He's changing you. He's making you better. He's doing something that only you're going to look back and see miracles happen like never before. Let me tell you, miracles are popping off in this church like, I mean, it's unbelievable what's happening. We have people who never believed they could go to college who are now applying to school because they see the power of God in their life. We have people who thought they would be single and never get married who get married. We got people who having babies and never thought they would have it. We got stuff happening all over this church. We got people getting healed from diseases, sicknesses, knees, back, neck. Let me tell you something. I don't care what you're going through. Put your hands up, not to say I surrender, but to say, God, I'm yours and I will continue this fight. I will stand by faith and I will do what you call me to do. I don't have an altar call. You know, here's what I got for you. Go fight. Go fight. Don't quit. Don't give in. Stop worrying. Why me, Lord? Now you know, because God is making you better. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you. May the Spirit of the living God rest, rule, and abide with you henceforth, now, and forever. Let me tell you this. If you need to talk to someone, we have people come on up that are here. But listen to me. Listen to me. I hear the Holy Spirit saying, you can talk to them, and they can pray with you. But if you're not willing to go out and fight, if you're not willing to go out and stand firm, if you're not willing to go out and obey God and what God is telling you to do, then don't come up front today. Now, next week you can come. Because today what God wants is for you to say, I'm going to stand and fight. Now, how many of y'all say, I got this, God, I'm going to stand and fight. I'm not going to quit. God bless you in Jesus' name. Give somebody a hug. Encourage somebody in the Lord. We're so glad you were here today. If you want to keep fighting, they're here to pray with you. If you're not sure if you want to fight, go greet somebody and say, have a good day.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.